Well, good morning, everyone. It's time for us to begin this morning. We want to welcome you to West Irwin. And whether you're joining us online or in person, we're glad to have you. Everybody stand up and take about 30 seconds and greet the people around them. Tell them you're glad they're here. Okay, let's all remain standing as we start with a couple of songs this morning. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases, His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning, great is Thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul.
The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercy. Good morning, West Irwin Church family. Welcome to all of those that are gathered here in person. Also, welcome to all who are part of our worshiping family today online. We're glad that you're joining along with us and worshiping our great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. If you're worshiping here, love for you to fill out a card that you see on the back of the pew in front of you. It's one of those white cards. On one side is for our guests, other side for our members. So if you wouldn't mind filling that out and giving us a record, or if you're one of our members, you can check the app or go online and check your attendance there as well. This evening, we will not have any activities here. This is going to be our small groups weekend, typically the third weekend, but last week being Father's Day on Sunday, we're having that today, and so your group may be meeting today if it hasn't already. Also, continuing on Wednesday night, our Vacation Bible School. We had a great kickoff to that this past Wednesday, and I hope that if you have some kids or grandkids or neighbor kids that you'll put the word out for that. We also have adult classes meeting on Wednesday night. That's at 6:30, all of that going on as well. We do have a new member with us. Kay Simonen has placed membership with us. You'll see her picture in the bulletin today. She will also be in the back with Ozzie and Jennifer and John and Terry Shaw. And so, Kay, we're thankful to have you. We appreciate you. She's also on our prayer list, as Kay will be going to Houston to MD Anderson this week for surgery on Wednesday and also discussing a treatment plan. So be sure and keep Kay in your prayers and meet her on your way out today. We do have several others that are on our prayer list today. We have a group of young people at Lariat Creek Camp this week. They left this morning. Jonathan and Lori Stone took four of our middle schoolers, and they will be at camp all this week. Ethan and Logan Stone left earlier, and they will be there as well, so keep them in your prayers. Other prayer concerns today, Southern and Riley Cates, of course, have a new baby boy, Weston. But while they were in Oklahoma visiting family and showing off Weston to his new relatives, Riley's sister, Bailey Hayes, was also pregnant, and she was due in August. But because of concerns for the baby, she had to have a C-section this past week, and the baby has been care-flighted. The baby's name is Haven. And Riley's sister is Bailey Hayes. Haven was care-flighted to Dallas, where she is today, and is in critical condition with pulmonary hypertension. So they've been very worried about her heart and lungs. And Southern and Riley are keeping not only their two, but Riley's sister's other two kids as well in Oklahoma. So that's why we're not seeing their pretty faces just yet. But we will, and in the meantime, we will be praying for you, our dear friends. Becky and Michael Murphy, also on our prayer list, as you will notice. We certainly want to continue to remember the situation in our world with the tension at heightened in the Middle East and also in Russia and Ukraine. And we pray for our leaders and for all the world leaders and for those that are bringing about a solution that is just and brings peace to this very troubled area. Our God is great, and he's got this. And so we continue to pray. Jerry Stevens is John Stevens' grandfather. He passed away on June 20th, and his service will be tomorrow in Wills Point. Becky McReese, some of you longtime members remember Becky and Henry McReese. Becky passed away recently. Her service will be Tuesday here in Tyler, visitation at 11, the service at 12 at Lloyd James Funeral Home. And we did send out a note about our brother, Davy Carter, and I would like to read what the family sent so wonderfully. It is with grieving hearts filled with hope and joy and the promise of heaven that we share of Davy Carter's passing from this earth into his eternal home. And we thank you for all the love, prayers, and support you continually show our family. And that, of course, will continue. The funeral will be 2 o'clock Friday here at West Irwin. Burial afterwards at Frankston City Cemetery. There will be a visitation on Thursday evening, 5 to 7 p.m. That will not be here. That will be at the Autry Funeral Home in Frankston. So family visitation on Thursday, 5 to 7 p.m. at the Autry Funeral Home in Frankston. And then the service will be here at West Irwin on Friday at 2 o'clock. Matt.
Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we humbly approach you this morning as a family, a community of believers gathered to give you thanks for your love, your grace, and your providence that sustain us each day, and gathered here on this first day of the week to worship you and give praise to you. Heavenly Father, help us to remember that without your grace, without the sacrifice of your only Son, who was nailed to a cruel cross to suffer and die and be raised again, we would have no hope. But with these things, Heavenly Father, we're called out of the darkness into of this world and into your marvelous light. We're thankful for the avenue of prayer that allows us to express our thanks, our love, and to lay our petitions before you. Heavenly Father, we trust in you fully. Therefore, we do not lean on our own understanding, but submit fully to you and know that you will keep our paths straight. Heavenly Father, this morning we have those of our family and friends that we are concerned about that are undergoing various treatments and procedures, that have lost loved ones recently, and those that are suffering various illnesses. At this time, Heavenly Father, we want to lift up to you the following and ask your comfort, protection, your healing power on these families and individuals. For Krista and Callie Huff and the Huff family and the loss of Joanna Huff. For the McCreese family and the loss of Becky. For the Stevens family and the loss of John Stevens, the grandfather of Jerry Stevens. For Shirley Denman's sister, Linda Mims, with her recent diagnosis. For Southern Kate's sister, Oakley, as she travels abroad in her ministry effort. For Cleo McCutcheon as he contemplates treatment for his illness. For Glenn Starnes' cousin, Jerry Robinson. For Kay Simonin as she contemplates upcoming surgery and treatments. For Michael and Becky Murphy and Michael's current concern for Becky. For Janice Hardaway and her difficulties and struggles, Heavenly Father. For Roddy Kate's sister, Bailey Hayes, and her newborn baby Haven as they face a difficult birth and concerns for both mother and child, also requiring separation of Bailey and Haven for the purpose of continued care of Haven. Be with Southern and Riley as they assist their family in this time of need and the entire Kate's family. Heavenly Father, we've lost a great servant in your kingdom with the loss of Davy Carter. We ask now that you would comfort and bless Sonia and the entire family as they grieve his loss, but celebrate his great reward as he arrives at a place where there is no pain and no tears, no sickness, and no suffering. Heavenly Father, we ask that you would give each of these individuals and families mention, even today at this moment, the peace, healing, comfort, and blessed assurance that only you can provide. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for all those who labor here each week, for our deacons, our teachers, staff, and ministers. Because you are faithful, we've been blessed, and our cup has been filled, pressed down and running over. Heavenly Father, we know that there are wars and conflict in this world, and precious souls are being lost each day. So we pray for peace and resolution, and know that you are the ruler of all things, and all things are under your control. Be with our soldiers, pilots in harm's way. Keep them safe. Return them home to their families. Heavenly Father, we ask that you be with our youth group today as they travel to camp and give them safe passage. Look after them, bring them home safely. Father, help us all to be faithful servants in your kingdom. Help us to be fishers of men and your dedicated disciples, listening to you speak to us through your holy word, and may our faith grow stronger each day. May we be kind to one another, lifting each other up as we work in your vineyard each day. It's our prayer that this service of worship and praise will be as a sweet savor of Christ unto you. For it is in the name of your Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
As we prepare our minds for the Lord's Supper, this morning we'll sing Lamb of God.
Your only Son, no sin to hide, but you have sent him from your side. To all the world is his God, and to become the Lamb of God.
So I don't watch TV, and by that I mean I don't pay attention to TV. I have the TV on all the time. I watch a lot of shows. I'm always doing something else. I might be working. I might even be reading a book at the same time. So I'm never really paying attention. I kind of just know what's happening. And so when I started watching this really good show, The Chosen, a few months ago for the first time, I watched a few episodes, but I didn't really watch it. So I said, Noah, okay, stop. Stop, Eric. Don't do that. If the whole reason you're watching this show that's a fictional, filled in some plausible things that happened in the life of Jesus and in his ministry with his disciples, if the point of watching that is to like take that in and think about that, think about it on my heart, I'm not going to sit there and have it on in the background while I'm working. So I happen to have, which happens not frequently, a tedious task while my family was out running errands a few weeks ago on a Saturday, and so I decided I would watch a few episodes, and while I'm folding cardboard boxes, I'm gonna pay attention to this show. And again, while the events in the show are fictionalized, they're plausible things that might have happened. There's a scene at the end of the first episode, and I had to take a break after watching it, because there's a scene where Mary Magdalene, who obviously has been through some horrible things, she meets this stranger outside, and it's Jesus, and he says something along the lines of, you're mine, I've chosen you. And she completely breaks down, and they embrace, and she has this incredible moment of catharsis, and I completely lost it. I completely lost it. I had to turn it off and take a break, because I thought, I guess I had all these stressors in my life that I didn't even know about at the time, and I thought, how come Jesus can't walk in my house and embrace me like that and say that, and then I would feel so good. I would feel so good. I wouldn't have all these worries and all these cares, and he could just give me a hug, and I would feel like I imagine you would feel in that moment. And to me, that's a lot like how we are sometimes with the Lord's Supper. You know, Jesus is doing that all the time. He's doing that all the time. He does it through his word. He does it through the ways he blesses us. And it's like we've become very efficient at our family meal of passing out, partaking of the bread, partaking of the fruit of the vine. And so many weeks I get just, okay, well, here you go. I got to get Ellie some money to put in the plate. And, you know, but wouldn't it be great if we always felt that embrace of Jesus, and we always felt the embrace of our family, of our brothers and sisters, because Jesus is right here with us. You know, in Luke, when the account of the Last Supper, and Jesus says, you know, I've been looking forward to sharing this with you. How cool would it have been to hear Jesus say that to you? But he is saying that to us. And every week we do this in remembrance of him, and he's looking forward to it, and we should look forward to it. And, you know, maybe some days it does kind of become routine. But any time that we can try and have it in our hearts where it's not routine, the more the better. Because Jesus' love and his sacrifice are ever present. And I wanted to read from Romans 8, starting in verses 28. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. Those he justified, he also glorified. He did choose us. He chose everybody that would choose him, but he chose us. What then shall we say in response to this? It continues. If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give to us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who is he that condemns? Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. And I'll skip a little bit. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing can separate us from his love, his sacrifice, his gift to us. Nothing should be able to separate us as we gather for this family meal and remember that and feel that love amongst each other and from our Savior. Will you pray with me? Dear Heavenly Father, we know that you created everything and you created us, and you created us to love one another and love you. And we know that we fall short, and we know that you continue to love us without any limits, that you would sacrifice your son Jesus to save us from our own sin and our own apathy and our own shortcomings. And at this time, as we remember that, please help us to remember that together, to remember that love that we all share, that love that comes from you, and that we should return to you and return to each other. Please help us to partake of this bread that represents his body in a manner that's pleasing to you. And please help us to remember this, not just now, but at all points in our life. Thank you. Thank you, God. In his name we pray. Amen. pray with me. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you again for your Son's sacrifice. We thank you for the blood that was shed on the cross that washes away our sins. We thank you for the infinite amount of love that that takes to sacrifice your perfect Son for us. When we can't save ourselves, we just thank you. Please bless this juice we're about to partake of. Please keep our hearts in the place of remembrance. And please let us be a blessing to each other as we remember this together. In his name we pray, amen. Giving is an act of worship, and it takes humility to give of your funds and of your time, because it acknowledges that God provided us with that time and he provided us with those funds, and we do have to put ourselves, you know, last. And thank you to everyone in this church for how much giving you do. We acknowledge that that comes from God, the heart to give and the ability to give and even the willingness to give. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you this morning for this church. It's full of people that give of their time and of their money. That which just really belongs to you. Thank you for the hearts in this room to acknowledge that and to give back what's not ours in the first place. And we thank you for giving us all of the blessings that even enable that. We know that we're blessed beyond measure, beyond most of the people on this earth. And we thank you for that. But we ask that you help us give more. We ask that you help us say yes more. And we ask that you help us do it joyfully. And that you give us opportunities more than just putting something in the collection plate, but we thank you for that as well. And we ask that you please help those making the decisions for this church to continue to put those funds to good use to further your kingdom and help our community and just help anyone in need. Thank you for your son, Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen.
Thank you. These are the words of our Lord. Beware of practicing your righteousness before men to be noticed by them. Otherwise, you will have no reward with your Father who is in heaven. Good morning, West Irwin. It is good to be here this morning. We want to welcome all that are present, whether you are sitting here in this auditorium on this beautiful Lord's Day, or if you have tuned in online. We want you to know that we are incredibly grateful for your being here. This is a unique morning this morning, because our dear brother and our friend has gone to be with the Lord. And I would be remiss if I didn't say to Sonia, to Barrett, to Bryce, and to Brittany, and to their beautiful families, that our deepest condolences and our prayers are for you. I didn't know your dad, your husband, that long, but I knew very quickly that he was a man that was full of the Spirit. And in our digital meeting through Messenger, the first thing that I learned was about you. That's what he chose to talk about in his introduction, was his family. There's an interesting passage that's found in John chapter 11. Of course, you're familiar with it. Jesus, knowing that his friend had died, had come to the tomb, and his sister was there, and they're grieving. And it says that Jesus was moved by the Spirit and was troubled. And that's an interesting word in the Greek, because it literally means that he snorted. He was angry. Because that's what death does. Death robs us. But we praise God because we have a Savior who made the one who had the power over death powerless. And we know that Davy is now basking in the warmth of an eternal sun. And in a space where he is not limited by the laws that we are, specifically time, it will be like a twinkle of the eye, and he will look up and we will be there. And so our prayers are for you, as they have been and will continue to be. I'm going to try to hit a reset now. We have been in a series, as you can see, that is titled on this screen called Kingdom Living. And it is the best sermon that was ever spoken, because it was preached by the greatest person who had ever lived. It is the longest sitting talk that Jesus had ever made. And it was and has a central focus, and it happens to be the central focus of Jesus' ministry, which is kingdom. I heard a story here recently, and the story was about a man who was pulled over by a police officer. So the police officer walks up to the man's door and asks for his driver's license and his insurance, in which he gladly gave the man, but he said, I'm sorry, did I break any law? He said, no, you didn't, but I noticed as you were driving down the road, you had swerved past that Hummer and shook your fist at him, and then when you had passed the lady in the yellow Jeep, I noticed that your face was flush with anger and that you might have said some choice words, and then I was as I was behind you in front of the bridge, and you got stopped at the light, you started to pound on top of your steering wheel. In which the man responded, well, did I break the law in doing any of that? He says, No, I was just confused by your behavior because I noticed this bumper sticker on the back of your car that says, Jesus loves you and so do I. You see, all of us, probably at some time in our life, knows what that feels like. And that is to be on the other end of a certain kind of behavior, right? It's when a person says one thing or presumes a belief of one thing and then acts in a way that is completely different. And we see this type of thing all the time in our culture, and sadly, sometimes in our church. It's a person who speaks out, openly out against immoral sexual behavior, but then behind closed doors makes crass jokes, inappropriate jokes. It's the person who says that we should love God and we should love people, but secretively is harboring, you know, thoughts of anger, social anger and racial anger, and should I even mention political anger towards those that are different than they are. It's the dad or the overbearing mother who comes to church and worships and sings praises to God only to act very harshly toward their family or toward their co-workers. You see what that is, don't you? Love becomes nothing more than a slogan on a bumper sticker instead of a lived practice. Because, I mean, it's very possible that we can do all of the right things and yet end up in the wrong place. And really, that's the first thing that I want to point out is you can look right and still be wrong. I mean, you can look holy and still be in a place that is not consistent or congruent with Jesus or the Spirit of Jesus. Let me say it a different way, is you could do good and still not be good if you're doing good is not in the context of a loving relationship with our Savior and our Lord Jesus Christ. And it's something that we see not only in this text, but in the greater context of this entire series. I mean, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, just in the previous chapter, as you will remember, in Matthew 5 and verse 20, Jesus says, unless your righteousness surpasses the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, you cannot enter into the kingdom of God. And notice that he did say that they had a righteousness, but it was a righteousness that was based upon outward piety, right? It was the righteousness of religiosity. And what that means is it has the mere appearance of religion. And that's what's going on in this text that we are looking at in Matthew chapter 5. In fact, notice the words of Jesus. He says in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 1, he says, beware of practicing your righteousness before men to be noticed by them. Otherwise, you have no reward with your Father who is in heaven. So when you give to the poor, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, so that they will be honored by men. Truly, I say to you, they will have their reward in full. Now, what is Jesus talking about in this text? Now, before we really get too deep into this text, let me just say something briefly about what Jesus isn't saying. Jesus isn't saying that we should not practice good publicly. We do not need to interpret the words of Jesus to mean that we should be ashamed about what we believe. In fact, I will remind you that the crowd that is present, right, which you would have to back up to chapter 4 and verses 17 and following to see that there's a large crowd of people that are coming to Jesus. Why? Because he did some really good things publicly. People that were outcasts, people that knew not God, people that had heard or witnessed the miracles of Jesus were coming to him. And then in chapter 5, verses 1 through 12, he says essentially that you are blessed in spite of what your background is. People that might have just barely known of Jesus. Now listen, to those people, he says, you are salt. And you are light. Therefore, let your light shine in such a way that they may see your what? Your good works, your publicly demonstrated good works, and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Church, you were created to do good, and you should not be ashamed about that. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 says, we're saved by grace, amen. For what? To do something. Work is a good thing. It was created by God for a purpose to bring Him glory. In Ephesians 2 and verse 10, he says, and you are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus before the foundation of the world for good works. Therefore, let your good works, your patience, and your forgiving spirit, let your progress be evident to all. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 15. And so we shouldn't be ashamed about doing good. That's not what Jesus is saying in this text. So what is he saying? Well, the operative phrase is found in the very first verse, and it's echoed again in the second verse, and then it's echoed a third and a fourth time through the first half of this chapter, which I will point out in just a moment. In Jesus' day, there was a certain place that people had to go to in order to worship God. And there was a specified way that God required that they would worship Him. And so what that would require is a sacrifice. I know it seems strange to us. And some people couldn't afford a sacrifice. So there at that place, the temple, they would have to purchase an animal. And outside of the temple, both for almsgiving as well as animal sacrifices, you had something that probably looked similar to this. It would have been a horn-shaped receptacle, a depository. Now, they were given money, but that wasn't the problem. It's what their intent was when they were giving it. So they would drop their money in this horn-shaped receptacle. And by the way, it's horn-shaped for a purpose. That's so that money could be put in and people couldn't take the money back out. But they would make sure that they made a lot of noise when they dropped the money in the plate, so to speak. If you've ever been to Walmart, you notice the change machine. People come in and dump their money in and then they get bills out. In fact, you could be in Walmart and you don't even have to be looking at that and you know exactly what it is. If you can imagine that, then you get the idea here. The problem wasn't that they were giving. The problem was is they were trying to show everybody else that they were giving. They were doing it to be noticed by people. You see, that's really the problem, is they think that in their demonstration of this very religious thing, a thing that God required, by the way, that they were better than the people that were around them. Comparative righteousness. But God's not looking for comparison. What He's looking for is deeper and greater connection. God wants us to be connected to Him in a real, not a rehearsed, kind of way. And I use the word rehearsed very specifically because that literally is what the word hypocrite connotes. That is the meaning that it communicates. God doesn't just want us going through the motions, church. It's not to put on a show. Because it is possible to show up on Sunday morning and yet to be far from God. I mean, to be here but yet to be absent in mind and heart. It doesn't matter how much scripture you know. It doesn't matter how long you have been a member of the church. It doesn't matter how much money you give. It doesn't matter if your doctrine is straight as a gun barrel. Because that's what they thought. They thought if you just hang around the right kind of people and you do the right kind of things, then you'll be okay. In fact, there's an example of this in Scripture. You're probably familiar with it. And if you're not, I'm going to put it on the title screen in just a moment. But it's sometimes referred to as the parable of the publican, right? And the Pharisee, or is also known as the tax collector and the Pharisee. You're familiar, yes? It's found in Luke chapter 18, verses 9 through 14. And this is the text. It says, "Then Jesus told this story to some who had what? Great confidence in their own righteousness. And he scorned everyone else." It says, "Two men went into the temple to pray. One was a Pharisee and the other one was a despised tax collector. The Pharisee stood by himself and he prayed this prayer." In fact, in the NASB it says he prayed this to himself. He says, "I thank you, God, that I'm not like other people. Cheaters, sinners, adulterers. I'm certainly not like that tax collector. Look at all the good that I do. I fast twice a week and I give you a tenth of my income." But the tax collector, who he had pointed out, stood at a distance and dared not even to lift his eyes to the heaven as he prayed. Instead, he beat on his chest in sorrow, saying, "Oh God, be merciful to me, for I am a sinner." And what did Jesus say? Jesus said, "I tell you this, that this sinner, not the Pharisee, returned home justified before God. For those who exalt themselves will be humble, and those who humble themselves will be exalted." Comparative righteousness, right? This is where the Jews got it wrong. And I want to say to Eric, where are you at? There he is. I really appreciated your words around the table. And Brother Matt, one of our shepherds, I appreciated your prayer. You had both had alluded to this, and there was somebody in Bible class that did as well, but I can't remember. You know, we are a chosen people, yes? You are chosen. You are royal, and you are holy. This is what God says about you. But do not get your chosenness mixed up. You see, the Israelites thought that chosenness meant that they were better. No, you're not chosen because you're better. You're chosen because of your purpose. That's why they were chosen. For once you were, what? You were without mercy, but now you are with mercy. For once you were not a people, but now you are a people. For once you did not have identity in Christ, but now you have identity in Christ. This is a paraphrase of 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 and verse 10. Right? Chosen, royal, holy, to tell forth the excellencies of Him, Matt, who called us out of darkness and brought us into His marvelous light. This is what we are. But by the time that Jesus showed up, they interpreted that to mean that I'm better than everybody else because I know more, because I live a cleaner life than they do. And you might be standing here this morning, or sitting rather, and thinking to yourself, "Well, I'm not Pharisaical." And to interject a little levity, I think a joke is appropriate. A good redneck joke is appropriate. Where's Cameron at? You would appreciate this. He's like, "Yeah, I'm your guy." You might have, anybody familiar with this guy? Do we know this guy? Who is it? Somebody help me out. Jeff Foxworthy. You might be a redneck. All right, so you might be a redneck if you ever made change in the offering plate. Only got 100. Need some more money for lunch, I guess. You might be a redneck. Will, I don't know what kind of truck you drive. You strike me as a guy that has a big truck. No offense. You might be a redneck if you spend more on your truck than your education. I know you was a college ball player and you went to college, though. Don't misinterpret what I'm saying. His arms are way bigger than mine. Please, don't misinterpret what I'm saying. All right? You might be a redneck. If you ask your midwife if you could borrow her bathing tub for a baptistry. That is a picture of me and my family, yes. One of our daughters was born in one of our homes that we lived in. And you might actually be a redneck if you actually baptize somebody in the back of your pickup truck. Yes, I did that. We put a tarp in it in the middle of the winter with somebody who had glass contacts and couldn't go down in a lake or chlorine water. I said, well, tap water work? Yeah, tap water works. So we filled the back of the pickup up and baptized two people up in South Dakota. But you might just be a redneck if you do any of those things. Well, you might be, you just might be a Pharisee if you value following rules over honoring relationships. I'm saying something important. If you think that people have to believe the right thing and behave in a certain way in order to make them feel belong, you might just be a Pharisee. If you have no problem pointing out the sins of other people without acknowledging your own, then you just might be a Pharisee. If you can only hang out with people that go to church with you, and let's break that down, if you could only hang out with a certain number of people within your church who might have some different beliefs than you do, then you just might be a Pharisee. Because you know what the Pharisees were, right? They were people like me. They were churchgoers. They knew what was right. And Satan in his wisdom knows that. He's going to play on that. The question was asked in Bible class, Stephen, what can we do to remind ourselves of the good things that God has done for us? Or what is the purpose of that? I think it was something like that. Great question. One of the reasons that God graces us the way that He does is so that we will be gracious to other people. But when we forget the goodness of God and the grace that God has shown us, then we forget to be graceful to others. You see the connection there, don't you? And so what we want to be is we want to be a people who value connection, who don't get involved in comparative righteousness. And you might be thinking to yourself, well, how do we do that? Let me give you one word to help you do that. And I'm going to get a little nerdy. I'm going to try to be quick, and then we'll be done. We do that through prayer. Because kingdom living doesn't seek to perform, living the kingdom life calls us to pray. Now, this seems like a really odd kind of place. It feels somewhat disjointed to me to talk about prayer in the context of self-righteousness, right? Of comparative righteousness, of performance-based righteousness, of righteousness that is based upon external behavior or modification, right? Because that's the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees. But when you go back and actually look at the sermon, right, Bill, you have this thing called an inclusio. And an inclusio is, let me put it in Forsberg terms, all right, I come from a family of uneducated people. I grew up in a family of rednecks, all right? Let me put it in simple terms. Think of a sandwich, all right? So you got bread on the top and the bottom, and then in the middle you have the substance. That's actually what you have here. Because Jesus, he talks about perhaps giving, right? Almsgiving, blowing your trumpet, tooting your horn to be seen by men. And then he's going to stay with the subject, but he's going to say it in view of prayer. And then he's going to give this model prayer. And then after that, he's going to return back to self-righteous activity, right? In the form of fasting. So that's verses 1 through 4, 5 through 8, and then 16 through 18, if you're taking notes. And in the middle, you get this thing about prayer. And if you grew up in church, you're probably familiar with this prayer, right? The Lord's Prayer, the example, the model prayer, which is a beautiful prayer. I'm not going to spend a lot of time going through this prayer. I just want to highlight really one main point from the prayer. And it is this balance, this back and forth between heaven and earth. Where you see Jesus saying, remember what that is, and remember what's going on down here. Our Father, that's eternal, who is in heaven, that is eternal. But he wants to bring the eternal in the mind of the earthly. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, right? Give us, that's God, eternal, giving us our daily bread. And forgive us, that is again eternal, because he's the only one that could forgive us, of our debts as we, here's the earthly, forgive our debtors. And lead us, only God can lead us. He is the great God and the great guide of our life. Not temptation, but deliver us on earth from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. We're familiar with this. Let me tell you what I think the essence of this prayer is. And that is heaven invading human space. It is to see my life before my God. And it is to see my God in view of my life. Right? I mean, it is kingdom come on earth, in my sphere of influence, at my workspace, in my home life, in my circles of friendships, privately, publicly, is to see God present in my life. Yes, church. Kingdom come. That's what we are. That's what kingdom living is all about. Kingdom come. Thy will, not my will. Every way, every day, in every place, his word, his will. It's all about him. What is it about? Kingdom come. I'll ask you again, what is it about? Kingdom come. What's more important than success? Kingdom come. Say it unashamedly. What's more important than money? Possessions? Education? More important than anything? Popularity? In every way, it's about him. But it presumes a mindset that says that God is king, that he reigns and he rules over us. And what a beautiful thing that is, to put our life into the hands of the one who created life, who is the smartest one who ever lived. And so here's the point, is that God calls us to be in prayer what we are in life. That's what I see. I see Jesus teaching us to bring our life to him, but then to be in life what we are in prayer, is to see God in and about us. And when we do that, then our righteousness will be one that is real, because it's based upon the blood and the sacrifice of our beloved Lord, not rehearsed. That's where connection comes from. You aren't automatically born into the family of God. That's not how you get into the family of God. You get into the family of God by being born again. That's what the scripture teaches us. And you might be thinking to yourself, well, but I'm not good enough. No, you're not, friend. And neither am I. But that's the beauty of the gospel, is that because of our faith in Jesus, to do what he said he can only do, that we get to stand before God as if we have never done anything wrong, spotless, blameless, perfect. And what a great thing, because that levels, that that's a great equalizer. I try to say this every week. There's not a perfect person here. I'm not perfect. Those that you look up to, and God bless their commitment to the King that you would look up to them, they're not perfect. But it's because of the one who is perfect that we get to have relationship with God. And God wants to help us on earth as it is in heaven. And so our life needs to be seen before God, but then we need to see God in our life. That's when our righteousness becomes real, because it's based upon faith in Jesus and not simply rehearsed. So what do we do? The great end of knowing isn't full understanding, but it's sharing what we know. It's doing something, life change, in a way that builds us up and then encourages somebody else. So here's your take home. It's called a mirror check. So I want you to do something practical. It's not just a thought. It's not just a question. There is a question or a statement in here, but I want you to do something. And I want you to write something on the mirror that you look at most often. I think for most it would probably be their bathroom mirror. So when you're fixing your hair, when you're putting your clothes on, when you're brushing your teeth, before you go to bed, when you rise up, I want you to write this. God is not looking at this. He is looking at what's on the inside. And let that be a reminder to be real. That God doesn't see the outward, right? He doesn't see the performance. He doesn't see the polish. He sees you. And He knows you. And then pray, maybe for 10 seconds, if you can, for 30 seconds to God about revealing that which is inside of you so that He can go to work to help transform your heart. And so take 30 seconds to pray honestly about what's going on in your heart. No performance, no polished. Real, not rehearsed. Because none of us want to send the message that, hey, you know, our love and commitment to God is just a bumper sticker thing. None of us want to do that. We want to let our light shine in such a way that they'd give glory to the King in heaven. And maybe you're here this morning and this message has struck you in such a way that you want to respond. Maybe I've said something that makes you want to talk to somebody. I could tell you that we have an incredible leadership team here that's made up of our eldership as well as our ministry staff. And we have some of the most active people in the kingdom of God here at this church. And a lot of that's because of Davey and what he does for this community over at the Benevolent Center. And so if it's not during this time, and if it's not with me, then be sure to talk to somebody before you leave here. We want you to know if you don't have a church home, we would love for this home to be your church family. And so if you need to respond to the message in any way, we want you to know that we care about you and that we're here for you and that you could do that now or later as together we stand and sing.
Trust and Father God, thank you so much for this beautiful day you've brought to us today, allowing us to break bread together as a church. And please watch over us as we go throughout this week. Continue to be with Davy's family as they cope and we celebrate him being in heaven looking down upon us today. Again, God, guard and direct us as we go throughout this week. In Jesus' name, amen.